Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This is my cross to bear. Most of us have probably heard this phrase or used it quite a few times before. And we all know what this means. It's those difficult times in our lives that can cause us a great deal of pain, stress, or even anxiety. And we even use it to describe some less serious things, too. And I know I've said this term quite a few times, a lot before. Now, this may sound kind of strange for someone who wants to be a pastor, but I am awfully afraid of public speaking. In fact, it's been that way my whole life. And I still have the vivid memories of being in high school and standing paralyzed in fear before my classmates, attempting and struggling to make it through a presentation. But it got even worse in college. See, when I was an undergrad, I was part of the college's choir. And unfortunately, one of the requirements to be in that choir was to sing in solo vocal recitals twice per semester. And I'll spare you the details of how horribly uncomfortable that made me and everyone else. But to say the least, it was a huge challenge. We all have unique crosses to bear. And the act of carrying one can cause us to confront some things about ourselves that we might not normally think of. So maybe Jesus' words today in the Matthew reading have got you thinking about some of the crosses that you bear. But just as Jesus made his cross into the promise of eternal life and salvation, he makes the cross we carry for his sake reflect the life we have in his name. In the gospel lesson that was just read earlier, we heard some pretty harsh words. Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." And then he even goes on to say that Peter is a hindrance. Peter, whom Jesus just called the rock of the church just a few verses ago, has become the stumbling block. Ouch. Out of all the people in the world, I would not want to label me that way or call me Satan. Jesus is definitely at the top of that list. In fact, Peter is the only human in Jesus' entire earthly ministry that he calls out as Satan. And I'd say that's pretty harsh. I mean, isn't Peter just looking out for Jesus? He's followed him for quite some time at this point, so it would make sense that he doesn't want him to die. But Peter's words here are a lot more than just innocent wishful thinking. They're actually a denial of God's saving plan for the world. Peter didn't get it. He had set his mind on the wrong things. It's as if he only heard the part about Jesus having to suffer and die and completely tuned out when Jesus was talking about the resurrection. And this is also what Peter denied with his words. He denied the entire salvation plan of God. And through his denial, he offered Jesus an alternate plan. It was an attempt at telling Jesus that his way is just not the way that things should go. And so Peter thought that his plan was better. He didn't want Jesus to take up his cross and follow the will of God. Now, this is probably starting to sound a lot more like what Satan wants or what he would say. Think back to when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness earlier in the gospel. After 40 days of fasting and being tempted, the devil appeared to Jesus and offered him a deal to not stick to the divine plan. He disguised his offer as a way for Jesus to save himself, which ultimately means not following the will of the Father. And so in this case, Peter's reaction was another deal that sought to change the divine plan. Different circumstances, but it's the same deal. God's ways are not our ways. Peter heard what Jesus was going to do, and he thought this was a terrible plan. And we are like this too. It's fairly easy for us to look back at Peter's words and his reaction and think that he really messed up and put his foot in his mouth in that moment. But looking back at our text, Jesus tells us If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So then, to take up our crosses, we first have to deny ourselves. But one big problem with that, with self-denial, is that it's completely against our nature. It's even ingrained into our survival at times. And I think back to all the times that I avoided important but difficult conversations, how I used my time selfishly, the times that I put my way and myself first. And I know I'm still pretty new around here and don't know all of you that well, but I know that you've done the same thing. We have all put our own ways first. And this is what Peter did too. But I am glad that Jesus did not choose that alternative plan. Denying himself, he took up his cross and followed the will of God the Father. And he denied himself to the point where he died. And we know that the plan did not end there either. The cross, a tool used by people to inflict so much pain and to kill, was used by God to bring eternal life to everyone who believes. And sentenced to death, Christ rose again to life. A plan that looked terrible to the world was absolutely beautiful in the eyes of God. At the place that Jesus was shown no mercy, mercy is all he gave back. God's ways really are not our ways. And so Jesus took up his cross and followed the will of God for you and for me. And because he has done this, you are called one of his very own precious disciples. And at his invitation, you can take up your cross and follow after Jesus. Now, in our reading earlier, when he says, if anyone would follow after me, I think it's helpful to imagine that that word anyone is a blank space where your name is written in. And this is given to all of us. And the truth here is that Jesus invites every disciple, anyone who believes now or in the future, to follow him. It is through the work of Christ that this gracious and open invitation is given to you. Now, for us today, the cross serves as a reminder of God's love, very universally. However, the disciples who were with Jesus had a completely different association with the word cross. For them, the cross was only a death sentence. It was where life ended, often in a brutal way. So imagine what the reaction must have been like when they heard Jesus tell them to take up their cross and follow after him. Maybe that's when they started to really think about what they got themselves into or had some second thoughts. But I mention this because it's important for us to let these words sink in for a few moments. We're set apart as his disciples too. But then, what cross is Jesus telling us to pick up? Where is this cross we carry going to take us? On the one hand, it really does mean what it sounds like. If someone is going to follow Jesus, they will likely suffer for it. Following Jesus can be full of doubt, failure, and enormous sacrifice. But this also doesn't mean that there is some level of discipleship that we're required to attain to become a disciple. It's not as if Jesus said these words to kind of scare away the people who were too weak to follow. No, the taking up of the cross and following Jesus is not a test. It's a job description. It's the daily denial of self and the daily trust in God. We bear our crosses any time we suffer for the sake of our faith in Jesus. This would be any temptations we have fought against, any time we've been persecuted for being a Christian, or the other times that we've maybe had to defend our faith. It really is impossible to name every single way that we bear our cross, but our cross to bear is any burden we carry as a disciple for Jesus. And carrying our cross is the continual relinquishing of control, the letting go of our ways for God's ways. And how well do we do this? Well, every day we sin, and every time we sin, we drop that cross right back on the ground. Even if we try our best, we will trip and fall. But through the grace of God, we are forgiven, strengthened, healed, and given new starts. Because of Christ, the cross we carry takes us on paths to Him. And this is where our cross starts to look a lot like Jesus' cross. Yes, the one we carry will be costly. And each one of us carries a unique burden with its own challenges. And it's impossible to know what that's going to be filled with. But where the world sees death and a waste of time, we see life in the cross. And I can't tell you exactly what kind of things lie ahead of you as you carry your cross for Jesus. But God tells us this. Following Jesus is to take up your cross with your heart. Now, earlier today, we also heard the epistle lesson read. It describes the life of one who carries a cross and follows after Jesus in this way. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. And seek to show hospitality. These and many other things are what flow out of our hearts as His disciples. We show others who Jesus is as we follow after Him because we carry this cross with love. The cross can be a heavy burden, but it is also a beautiful message of hope and joy and peace in Christ. A message of self-denial, gracious invitation, discipleship, and changed hearts. And through the work of the Holy Spirit, God invites others to look at the cross and find eternal life. By looking at the cross we carry, the world can see Christ's cross. St. Lawrence just celebrated our 175th birthday this last weekend. That's 175 years of taking up the cross and following Jesus. 175 years of showing others how beautiful it is to live with Jesus. And I mention our mission statement today because that's also what we're celebrating. We are celebrating that God's ways are not our ways. And discipleship is at the heart of this mission statement. And at the heart of every disciple is someone who follows after Jesus, who by His gracious invitation has set our hearts on the things of God to joyfully carry our cross. Amen.